Kia ora everybody, good evening and welcome to you. Welcome to Magic Die Call. Yes, Magic Die Call Last Day Events News, and it's great to be here tonight. Man, have I had a busy day today. And I tell you what a great response to last night's show with Dr. Rima and James Roguski. What a nice guy he is, I tell you. And a very smart individual. But look at all this. These are all of the color-coded, I want to forget that in the camera, right? There you go, all the camera. All the scenes from the documentary that are being edited right now, and I am so excited. Some people are saying to me, "Well, Billy, you know, do you think it's wise that you put this out because I'm facing court charges and things like this?" And I'm like, "Well, you know, really, there's no choice in this matter. This has got to happen." It's got to happen, family. We've got to expose the truth, the river of lies. And the thing is this, is that, you know, we can report, you know, vaccine harm. We can report the Wellington protest, but it's not enough. We've got to educate ourselves about how, who, why, when, how things have happened, what happened, to who. And we want to know how and the mechanisms involved with this. And we need to make our decisions from this data that's going to be presented in this documentary about where we will stand and be in this issue, because a lot of us are still asleep. We need a resource that's not going to frighten people away from the truth, but rather entice them and invite them to be educated and learn more. This is not a left and right issue no longer. It may have started out like that, but it is no longer an issue of left and right. This is about human rights, freedom, decency, and protecting each other. And I would, and I'm going to say it again, I would defend the right of a communist to be a communist, a trans person to be a trans person, if that's what they want to be, as long as they don't force their less than 1% ideology on the rest of everybody in New Zealand. But I would defend their right to live in freedom without anyone harming them, overreaching into their lives. An atheist, whatever. I don't care what people are into. I mean, I do from a Christian pastoral point of view, but it's everyone's God-given right to choose, free choice, and to live in peace with themselves. And if you've got whānau and family, to live that way in peace with your own family. Is that right? Is that the best way to go about it? I think so. That's what my gut feeling is telling me, and that's how I was raised, to respect other people's views, even if you don't agree with them, but it's their right to choose, and that's what we're defending. And what we've seen in the last 3 years, and we've seen it before, we saw it during the John Key government. He was lining us up for all sorts of global treaties, etc. Helen Clark did it, Bolt, they've all done it. The globalists, globalist elite New Zealanders, and you know, they've set things up now that New Zealand is looking down the barrel of a gun, and we're first in the queue for it. You look at all of the New Zealanders that are right up the very, very top of these issues, whether it be climate change nonsense, whether it be the COVID nonsense, whether it be the World Economic Forum, you know, fourth industrial revolution, and we're sleeping through it. And what this documentary is going to do, it's going to give us episodes, three episodes of being able to have a resource that you can say, right, to your daughter, to your son, to your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, whoever, your friend who doesn't agree with you or can't see it, you're going to be able to give them in a concise, good, tight package. Here you go. Please just watch this. It's 90 minutes long or whatever it will be. And just look at it. And the way that we are framing this documentary is that it's going to be easy to access, understandable, and something that even people who are sitting on that fence or on the other side of the fence are going to be led to that place where they think, golly, heck, this doesn't look right. And from there, you can gradually take them the rest of the way. Does that sound fair? I think that's a good approach. I said it from day one that we all needed to be cool, calm, factual, and on solid ground. I've been saying it now for 3 years, over 3 years. And the thing that nauseates me about the freedom movement, we've completely lost any of that now. There's so many of us talking about what's happening. You know, the white hats are going to do this, someone's going to do this, you know, you know, JFK Jr. is going to come back from the grave and rescue everybody, and all these things. And they haven't helped us, have they? They haven't. All it's done is led us down further and further and further down into down the rabbit hole without any sign of light at the end of that tunnel. And so what I've advocated back then, I advocate today, that we need to deal with this together as family, cool, calm, and collected, factual, let the data speak. And the beauty of it is, with this documentary, most of the data that we've got, aside from the witness testimonies, right, most of the data that we are exposing is their data. It's not stuff we're making up, it's their information. And so I want you to rest assured the truth is coming, and we need your help, of course, to get the job. I mean, I'm going down to Auckland, and I'm going to be there for a while. I won't be coming home anytime soon when I leave my beautiful home here, and I'm going to be busy. We're going to get this done, and you know, we have got the opportunity as well, when we do this launch episode one, to have an absolute incredible person hit the road to come and help me launch this for us. And so I'm looking forward to that. So anyway, everybody, welcome to Magic Dicol Last Day Events News. Please support our sponsors, NanoSoma and Metasoma Products, which are so wonderful. If you want to know what that's all about, what you can do, and I'll bring it up in a second, I just thought of it actually. What we can do is go to our website, River of Lies. I'm going to type it in right here. In fact, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll show you what I'm doing. I'll put that camera on, and you'll see that I'm there. And I'm going River of Lies. Here we go. Where is it? All right, riveroflies.co.nz. And what you do is you go down here, you go down to our sponsors, Magic Dicol, hit that button there, and that'll take you to this awesome Magic Dicol store, and it will show you all about the product. NanoSoma has changed my life. There's a New Zealand store, and you can go and get your product, and I tell you, I love it. And now I must say, because they asked me to say this when I do these things, is that NanoSoma and Metasoma products do not treat or cure anything. And that's true, because what they do and what it does is it teaches your body what it's trained, what it was made to do. It's made to heal itself. God gave us this amazing body. In fact, the book of Psalms says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so God knew what he was doing, and we don't need to be on a million pills. And you know, and I've been victim to that as well, don't worry. So I'm working my way off with NanoSoma's help. So please support our sponsors and be a part of the excitement that is this great natural product. All right, family, just a little bit of housekeeping before we get into it. And just again, and I'm going to keep reminding us, because this little fella, I just love this little guy's face. This is Fletcher, and Fletcher is a neat little guy. There he is there. All right, he's got cerebral palsy, Fletcher. And I actually haven't met little Fletcher yet, and but I'm hoping to sometime soon. This is him here. He's just over 3.8 years of age, and he hasn't been running. He uses this little thing here to help him get around. And I'd like to think that that maybe if we drop a few coins in together, that we'll be able to get this little boy over to the US at the end of the year to help him receive treatment and surgery that will likely see him walking and running across the green fields of Aotearoa, New Zealand, which is what we want to do. So please go to Fletcher's page. It is called the Give a Little page with Fletcher's Walking Wish. And I would be definitely grateful if you would support that little boy reach his dream to run like you, or the little kids need to be able to do, eh? Okay, so what I've got here is I've got a reminder before I do anything. I've got a reminder here, and that is about what we did last night with Dr. Rima. Last night we launched, of course, we launched the amazing New Zealand action item to get us out of the World Holocaust Organization, as Sister Rima calls it. Now, Sister Rima is a neat Jewish lady, and she loves me, and I love her dearly. And I told her the other day that I got called an anti-Semite, and she couldn't believe it. She said to me, "Oh yeah, clearly you are, Billy." And like, yeah, anyway, she's so funny. She calls this the World Holocaust organization. I think she's quite right, don't you? Anyway, alert the WHO was mandating the sexualizing of children. This is her website, URL up there, preventgenocide2030.org. All right, and all you do is you scroll down and you've got these action buttons, right? You've got these action buttons here. All right, so they're just there, action buttons, and you can see the entire site there. Now, if you hit that action button, which says to get out of the WHO, what it'll do, it'll take you to this page here. And this is the New Zealand specific page. I'm so grateful that we have this, by the way. This is calling all Kiwis. And look at that beautiful shot. Let all New Zealand voices be heard. It takes you down a bit of an intro page there. And then you click this page here. New Zealand must exit the WHO. Email your MPs. So this is all done for you. Email your MPs. So you click on that, like I did just then, which you would have seen. It'll take you to another page within the site. Take action, New Zealand. Exit the WHO, preserve national and personal sovereignty. Now, I've left my address up like this so that you can see what happens here. Billy TKJ, you're going to put all your details in. And it's a pre-written letter for us that we send, and it goes to all of the main ministers and MPs in the government. All right, and the 10 reasons why we need to do this are just over here. Conflicts of interest, corruption, misguided focus on vaccine. 500 of them are scheduled for the people of the planet to be in your arms by 2030. Bureaucracy and waste, fear mongering, dangerous recommendations, false model of health, it's the World Unhealth Organization, power grab, mistakes, out of touch, secrecy, such great secrecy. You know what? They are not allowing people to know what they're trying to introduce to all of us. And now, this wouldn't have a home. These plans of tyranny wouldn't have an outlet if it wasn't for corrupt or compromised members of parliament. And so we need to get onto this. It's all done for you. So please, 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 please go in there. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to go back a page. How am I going to do that? I'm going to do that. I'm going to copy the link, and I am going to put it into the chat. I've just hit the button there, and you guys will see the excellent link there, and it will take you to this very important website, and you'll be able to do that. And welcome. Good morning, Marianne. I hope you're well in the Netherlands. Welcome. It's good to see you here. Some of our Dutch family here with us. I grew up with Dutch families in New Zealand, so it's awesome to see you here. All right, let's crack into some of these other things that I want to cover today. Let's do that, eh? Now, I've got a couple of articles that are pretty blinking infuriating, right? And, you know, I try and keep my cool, but every now and then I just come across articles in my media canvassing plan that just absolutely really flare my nostrils. Here's one of them here. This is Sir Ashley Bloomfield's top tips for mental health in kids. Now, I'm telling you, I'm sorry. That's about as much irony I can drink. That's about as much audacity I can take. That is absolutely rich coming from this monster of a man. And he calls himself a Christian. I'm sorry, I don't accept that. Because Christians don't deny people access to their parents or loved ones that are dying. Christians wouldn't stop people who have been injured by the first vaccine not have access to a exemption from getting the next one. This man is a monster, make no bones about it. He is the number two in the International Health Regulations Committee. This man is involved up to his eyebrows in the most heinous of heinous crimes. And I don't know how it happens that this man is made out to be such a nice guy. I despise the man, to be honest. I pray for him, honestly, that he repents, that somehow God will open up his eyes, but he is despicable. Anyway, the article reads, look at him, he's sitting there. Sir Ashley Bloomfield and Southern Cross have launched a free and accessible wellbeing program to promote good mental health and wellbeing for Tamariki. Funded by Southern Cross, the Pause Breathe Smile program is free and available for all kura, primary and intermediate schools in Aotearoa. Oh my gosh, the woke writing just is nauseating, isn't it? You know, kura, primary and intermediate schools across Aotearoa. Bloomfield said it was clear Tamariki, who had undertaken the program, had benefited from the mindfulness skills they learnt. Now, this is the same WH approach to getting into the heads and minds of your children. And don't forget, this is the same WHO that want to teach your children and talk to them about the most heinous of sexual topics and incorporate that, embed that into a core curriculum approach. I mean, this is the same guy that thinks all of that's fine. It beggars the mind to imagine how someone like that, who thinks the WH programs and those things in it, he may not fully agree with it, maybe. I'm going to give him a little break here. He may not fully agree that 4-year-old kids should have right to sexuality. He may not agree that 8-year-olds should learn about masturbation and touching people and all of that in themselves. Maybe he doesn't agree with that, but you would have to assume that if anyone joins a gang, and the WHO is a gang, that they believe in the principles of the said organisation. And so I would like to think he's not a part of it, but I'm afraid I don't believe it. And so there he is, this guy, looking all wonderful and smiley, and yet he has the cheek to give top tips about how to keep your children grown in mental health. But what about this? What about this one here, Ashley Bloomfield? Sir Ashley Bloomfield? What about this? Have you forgotten what you did to young people? Let's see if I can make this a bit bigger. No, that's it. That's as big as it's going to go there. Look at this. Children and young people were taken to hospital after self-harming more than 5,600 times in the year to September, escalating an alarming trend that mental health experts say is indicative of a growing distress among young New Zealanders. Listen to this. Mental health practitioners told the Weekend Herald that rates of psychological difficulties among children and teenagers were rising before the emergence of COVID-19, but have got significantly worse since the pandemic started. Now, this is the whole thing, is that the day I was arrested protesting against lockdown harm, a little girl, and I've mentioned this young girl many, many times, because that's the whole point of this thing, is that kids were mentally annihilated by lockdown. Some kids are a lot worse than others because they didn't want to be home. They, you know, school was escapism for them. But this guy here, that's sitting there, acting like butter wouldn't melt in his mouth. Yep, Sir Ashley Bloomfield's top tips for mental health in kids. Well, that's just about as much hypocrisy as I can swallow. I'm afraid. This is what, when I came up with this article, I just couldn't believe it. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. But you know what? We talk about this in the documentary. We talk about mental health. We talk about the effect it had on children. We look at the numbers, and you know what? This man here is an absolute monster. In fact, away with that article, because I just cannot stomach the wokeness of that. Now, this article here I'm about to share with you is another idea that'll probably smack full of irony. Just funny that I just lost the page. Isn't that weird? And it's quite amazing. Let's see if I can get this back. You know, all right, here we go. All right, I'm going to show you the article and we'll clip into it. And I want you to kind of follow me. This is stuffed.com, stuffed.com.nz, right? Stuffed.com.nz. Now, it says here, family who fled right-wing, death squad to find safety in New Zealand. So, again, you've got this left-wing, leftist, socialist, communist media channel saying, putting it out there, family who fled right-wing death squad to find safety in New Zealand. Now, when you click on this article, you come across, you know, suddenly, right-wing people are suddenly compared to the Taliban. And they're talking about these lovely Afghani whānau that escaped Afghanistan. Good on them. And I've got no problem with helping people like that. But you go into the story about these lovely sisters from Colombia, and they fled a Colombian death squad, right? And it was a right-wing death squad. Okay, well, this is my point. I feel equally at risk in New Zealand right now for being what people the media would call me a right-wing person. I'm not a right-wing person. I'm not a left-wing person. I'm a freedom and rights and God person. That's what I am. And you know, and I'm so glad that these ladies, these sisters are safe and welcome to our country here. I'm happy with that. But don't you think it's ironic that you see these articles of people that have fled, you know, right-wing death squads, and I'm sitting here in New Zealand and would love to flee New Zealand because of the left-wing parasites that want to persecute me for being a freedom activist. I'm, you know, I'm all about the freedom of choice here. That's what I'm about. And Protestant biblical fundamentalism, Christian fundamentalism, is about freedom of choice. And if people don't believe that, it's because they've looked at the state religions of old, and all they've seen are terrible and coercive, destructive measures of force that the church and state used, and that's coming back. But what we're talking about here is the irony of an article like this by the left-wing media channel that celebrated when Vinny and I got sentenced to prison for talking about rights and freedom. Do you follow me? Do you understand what I'm saying here? It's dripping with such, again, such irony and hypocrisy that it's hard to digest that it's possible in our country that New Zealand On Air is funding things like this right now. No wonder they didn't want to talk to me when I was on the documentary trying to talk to them. But don't you find that highly ironic that they are wanting to do this, to cover these people that escaped to New Zealand from places like Afghanistan, where of course the Taliban will kill you if you don't do what they tell you, or right-wing countries with right-wing death squads. But what about New Zealand? And how many people do I know right now that feel unsafe in New Zealand and want to flee New Zealand to other countries? I know dozens of them that want to leave New Zealand yesterday because nobody feels safe in New Zealand. Do I feel safe? No, I don't feel safe in New Zealand. I don't. I go shopping and I wonder, like in 2020, when I'll have someone come up to my face and say, I'm a bleep bleep and a bleep. And even when I went to see Brenton Faithfull speak, my mate Brenton Faithfull speak in Orewa, and that's meant to be a freedom person's event, I had some big creep come up to me and try and give me a hard time. Didn't explain why, just gave me a hard time. Why? Because of course I'm a millionaire Freemason, UN secret agent, misogynistic human being, aren't I? And that's from within the freedom movement. You know, and of course I've lied about money and all those things. And that's why the freedom movement, we need to wake up to ourselves, because I'm sick of that nonsense. I mean, how was it that in 2020 people were so crazy about me being a Freemason? And then Calvin Elp comes along, he is a Freemason, and everybody just forgets it. Everybody just forgets it, completely forgets it. Oh, I've changed, I'm out of it. But is that ever possible? But anyway, you see my point of irony here. Is this a safe country for people with your point of view? Do you feel like when you see things like Know the Signs, a Citizen Informer program that Rebecca Kitteridge said that was a program where you could perhaps look at people that might have problems with, you know, the COVID-19 measures of the government and all that, you know, maybe they're going to say something that's a bit off, and you know, if you see those people, hear them, then you need to report them. And that's the Know the Signs program of the New Zealand Security Intelligence Service, New Zealand Police. Now, that's a Citizen Informer program. They had the same thing in Stasi East Germany, didn't they? They had it during the Nazi Party regime of the Third Reich. They had that then. There was not only the Gestapo, but there was secret police within the police that worked for the Nazi Party as well. They had the brown shirts, they had intelligence within those units of the SS as well. They were all doing it. And they were just listening out for people that said anything against the Führer. And what have we got today that's so different to that? What are they working towards? These are the questions we need to ask. Is that fair? I keep asking that question if it's fair, because sometimes I think to myself, you know, what are we actually observing here? How do we put it together? And again, I want to say that the documentary, I think, is going to be putting it together in a very good way. Now, this article here, I wanted to talk about this, because this one here, this is from, of course, another COVID-19 modeler. And the COVID-19 modelers have been essentially as accurate as the climate change modelers. The ones that said, starting in 1993 at the Rio Earth Summit, that were starting to say every 5 years that the planet would be dead in 5 years and 5 years and 5 years. So every 5 years I came back going, well, no, it wasn't that last 5 years. We're going to all be gone burger by the next 5 years and the next 5 years. And then, of course, you have other people turn up and say, well, we've got 10 years left and that 10 years will go by. And then they say, well, no, we've got 5 years left. Then they'll change that. But isn't it the same thing with the COVID-19 modelers? Didn't we have Professor Neil Ferguson in the UK say there are going to be millions of deaths? Didn't we hear that? And at the same time, we've got millions of deaths from, you know, things like heart disease, cancer, diabetes, so on and so forth, right? And again, we've got New Zealand guys like Sean Hendy. I won't even call him professor anymore. How he has still got his job is just amazing. But look at this. This is from the 19th of August, 2021. So this is after I was arrested. The day after, in fact, I was arrested. I was still in jail when this came out at 3:07 p.m. on 19th of August. I was still sitting in remand prison when this came out. And what were they saying? They were promoting the jab. Get the jab and she's going to be okay, te pai. All good, folks. Nothing to see here. But what does it say here? COVID-19 modeler Michael Plank, he sounds like a plank, says the level 4 lockdown will be stopping the virus in its track. Did that work? Did these lockdowns do that? Nope, they didn't. Nope, they certainly did not. What they did do is they caused a lot of people to end their lives. That's what they did, didn't they? So many people that ended their lives that the New Zealand government reclassified suicide as accidental death. Yep, that's what they did. And they changed the Coroner's Act, everything. That's how honest these guys are. But what did he say? And although case numbers may continue rising during the next week, he is hopeful the numbers will start dropping after. You know, no. Why were the lockdowns used? Anthony Fauci told us. Because lockdowns force people to accept and take the jab. That's what they're used for. But look, it's going to stop the virus in its tracks. It's going to stop it. Really. Really, Mr. Plank. Boy, please forgive me. I guess what happens is when you look at this stuff all day, you think to yourself, you know, how can it be that these people can get away with it? But they were telling everybody, lock yourselves down, isolate yourselves, be lonely, be distressed, feel like giving up. All these things, mental health conditions, violence, domestic violence, crime, drug use, alcohol abuse. That's what came out of these lockdowns, leading to Johns Hopkins University saying, nope, not one benefit could they isolate or identify, pun intended. They could not find a benefit that justified the idea of COVID-19 lockdowns. That's Johns Hopkins University Economic Division. And John Ioannidis, the hero, he's an world-renowned epidemiologist, said lockdowns, no, don't do those. Simon Thornley, another hero, our hero, Professor Simon Thornley from Auckland University, gets himself in big trouble when he stands out and says, no, don't do these things and don't panic. But this guy here, Michael Plank, says, no, lockdown's going to stop it in its tracks. Did it stop it all in its tracks? It didn't, did it? Not even close. And after that, we had the most cases that we've ever seen. Lockdowns are going to work. Yep, they're going to stop it in its tracks. Yep, this is the bizarre narrative of this woke, leftist, communistic style of science capturing the science sector and not applying the scientific technique of letting the data speak for itself, there was no justification in that, and they knew it right up front. Gee, I'm starting to give you a few clues about what's in the documentary, aren't I? But I want to show you something, another article here, something that's happening in France right now, because I've got a French whakapapa, a French heritage, and I've got to say, I'm impressed with these people. This is about fighting the loss of human rights and democracy in France. Let's have a look at this. Aren't they funny? But aren't they making a statement? Aren't they making a statement? And this is the thing. This is happening all around the world. But the thing is this, and I'm going to say this, is that protests should only be the outward frontal approach if it's well supported and backed up by something that's happening in the back end to support this activity. That is having your pandemic or your lockdown petitions or your WHO petitions ready to go, but also having your demand list ready to go. That's ready to go. The problem we got, what happened with this beautiful protest down in Wellington, is that the so-called people that were said, don't worry, we'll handle it, we'll deal with this, they took the event off the good people that had started this convoy to Wellington, and they said, no, we'll do it, and they didn't do a darn thing. And I'm sorry if I sound so condemning about that, because I saw some really, really good, hundreds of good people get hurt, they got arrested, and they're still dealing with it today. I've got some dear friends today that are being treated like criminals because they dare turn up on the grounds of the parliament to protest for rights and liberty. And so protesting is fine. Sorry guys, mean interference there. Protesting is good, and of course I was doing it long ago, wasn't I? 3 years ago I started. But what I've learned is now is that, in the words of Ricardo Bossi, no good if you just turn up with 10,000, 20,000, 30,000, 50,000, 100,000, won't do it. You need a million people to descend down onto Parliament and say, we don't want this life. We don't want what you guys are doing. Because if we can do that, that's 20% of the population. Then that tells us and tells them that it's over. They're out of here. And then through that peaceful process, you turn up with your paperwork done. And you say, this is the list of demands. You are stood down. We are changing the system. That's what needs to happen. And you've got to make sure you got that paperwork backed up. You have to. And there are some amazing things that I'm privy to right now that are happening behind the scenes right now that are happening to bring this government to account. Because you know what? The petrifying thing that we are all having to look at when we go into the election cycle this year is, what have we got? You got the team in red. You got the team in blue. You got the ACT Party, which is an ACT. You got Te Pāti Māori, which isn't. And what else have you got? You got a couple of individual independent people that are in these independent seats. What else have you got? The Green Party? Ooh. You know, what are they? Green communists? They certainly are. James Shaw may not look one like one, but make no bones, he is. What else have we got? Then you got all of the freedom parties, and not one of them are saying that the system needs to be changed. You know, really, what I said in 2020 remains, I believe, remains true today, that we need to get into Parliament, We need to have people that are prepared to be honest watchdogs on behalf of the public and behalf of the people of New Zealand, and be absolutely brave and courageous about standing up against things they know aren't right that's happening within the House of Misrepresentatives. And they need to be up front and say, we need to change the system. We need to change the system. We need to end this corrupted corporate system, and we need to develop a new system that will represent the people, every part of New Zealand, not just one little fraction or a bigger fraction than that fraction, but all New Zealanders. Turn New Zealand into a self-serving mechanism that's there for the people. That's what needs to happen. And I want to hear them say that if they get into Parliament, they will work to get us out of the UN, work to get us out of the WHO, work to get us out of all of the trade tariffs, cancel all of the agreements with Microsoft, Amazon Web Services, corporate identities and powers that have no place in New Zealand if they want to control and have access to your privacy. And you know what? I'm just not hearing it. I'm not hearing the wide range of policies that we need. It's not just about the freedom issues. What about the education curriculum? What about that? What about our medical sector? What about all these other things? You know, and one thing I will say that I was particularly proud of about Advance New Zealand is that we had, and New Zealand Public Party, is that we had an amazing array of wide policy. We truly did. And there were a lot of good people writing those policies, and they did all the hard work to do that, looking at legislation and things like that and putting it together. We had a policy team of about 25 people. And so we had these types of things, and when we looked at our list of priorities, yes, we had civil liberties issues and all those things, right? We had all that, but we had everything else along with it. We had all those centrifugal issues and topics that everything else sort of, you know, radiates around. So that's what I want to encourage anyone that's got a political party that's listening to this or gets a chance to listen to this. Please don't be a one-trick pony. Please don't be a one-trick pony. Have a look across the issues. Now, I saw an interesting message that Scotty sent me today. And it was a series of screenshots of conversations online between Matt King and different people and the Freedom and Outdoors Party. And it's an absolute mess what's going on. I thought it was bad in 2020. I really did. I thought it was bad in 2020. I think it's gotten worse. I reckon the freedom political thing in New Zealand's got worse. It was bad in 2020. I couldn't get any of them to put their egos aside because, of course, they were claiming that I've got the Jupiter-sized ego that wouldn't be a co-leader, and next thing I am a co-leader. You know, and they all need to come, all of them, Matt King, all of them. They all need to do it. The new cons, all of them. If they are serious about it, they need to all come together and do this. Do it. If they can't put their egos to the side, just tell them to focus on the bigger picture. But it's going to come down to the wider range of policy that they have, because it's not enough to ride in on the white horse of civil liberties. You've got to have the other things with it. Can't just be about outdoors, can't just be about freedom. But if they can find the central points that will glue them all together, they should all be doing it. Matt King should be on the phone with Sue Gray, with Brian Tamaki, with the new cons, jeepers, whoever, they need to do it. They need to get together and just come together. They need to do it. And the fact is that they all playing tough guys with each other, in my mind, tells me how very, very sad it is. It really is. They did it to me in 2020. No, we're not going to work with you, Billy. And what they wanted, Sue Gray and Alan Simmons, they wanted me to join the Outdoors Party, which had no chance of doing it. And they proved it. They got less, they got 0.1%, 3,000 votes. I got told I got 30,000 votes despite having millions and millions and millions and millions of people engagements on my messaging, hundreds of thousands of people openly supporting us. We only got 30,000 votes, so they say. So, and that was more than what the ACT Party got. Did you know that? Did you ever work that out, or did I mention that before? That I got more votes in my first go at politics than the ACT Party. Isn't that amazing? And I actually had a stuffed journalist wanted to do an article on me about that, and I told him to go jump in the lake. He approached my lawyer and asked me if I would do an interview with him about the fact that I did better than the ACT Party. I went, well, no, I'm not going to do that. Thank you very much. Because you'll by the time the interview goes to print, I'll look like a woman beating, non-bill paying, philandering, misogynistic, white supremacist, Māori separatist. Isn't that amazing? I'm a Māori separatist and white supremacist all in one tinana, one body. Isn't that amazing? And so my thing is this, guys, if you know these people, give them a hard time. Tell them to just drop the egos, whatever it takes. Because you know what? If they all came together and say they got 5, 6, 7% or more, that's a dozen MPs, 10 to 12 MPs. Look, five parties, two from each. Wouldn't that be a place to start? Let's see if they'll be wise and humble enough to do that. And to those of you that have asked me to go back into politics and to join, there's another little party as well that's just contacted me. They're called the Action Party. I like that, Action New Zealand Party. And they sound fantastic, by the way. But no, I won't be joining any parties, political parties, and I won't be going back into politics. And I believe I can do better helping people from right where I am. So let's just pray. Let's just pray that they get their act together. And I totally agree with you, Debbie. Sister Debbie, you're always on to it, my dear. All right, I've got another article here, and I'm a big fan of this lady. I am. This is the she's an MP for the European Parliament, EU, and she's neat. Let's have a listen to it. This is Christine Anderson.
City mean basically a neighborhood.
She's talking about 15 minutes
city. Well, a 15-minute city mean basically a neighborhood where you can reach everything you need within a 15-minute foot walk, a doctor, grocery store, and so forth. However, if you now fancy another store and it does not happen to be in your neighborhood, you won't be going to that store anymore. Total control is what we're talking about. Once they decide you're no longer allowed to leave your 15-minute immediate area, they don't have to fence it in or anything. It will be done via digital ID.
With a social credit system, something like that. Compliance.
Yes. And there's pilot projects already going on in Bologna. It's called the Bologna Wallet. And in Vienna, it's called the Vienna Token. It's voluntary for now. And it's only pretty much enticing people to get some ticket for a little less or something like that, to go to theater, something like that. But soon there will be a time you don't have a choice anymore. You have to have this digital green certificate, this QR code, whatever. And then they will tell you where you can go, what you can do, and what you can and cannot do.
All right, so we've already got that in New Zealand. That's ready to go. We've got Jacinda Ardern had already signed a partnership agreement with Bill Gates, with Microsoft, around a digital ID system. It's ready to go. During the lockdown in 2020, we had Amazon Web Services and Microsoft officials flying in their private jets, flying, have a quick meeting with those that are in authority, get back in their planes and whoop, zip off again. No problem, no worries. And we are ready to go for this. We are ready to go. And if you want to, here's a little exercise you might want to do. How about going to your local council and asking them if they're involved with the Rockefeller Resilient Cities Program, or if they are implementing the Agenda 2030 principles, the 17 sustainable development goals. Just go and ring them up, go in and see them, go, hey, look, I want to know, act all positive, because they'll gladly tell you all about it. Now, the big councils that are involved in the Rockefeller Resilient Cities Program, Smart Cities Program, Agenda 2030 programs, of course, Wellington, Christchurch, Hamilton, Auckland, and the bigger ones as well, smaller ones, and you'll find them everywhere across New Zealand. They'll all be signed up to this. And that's why, you know, that's why they got rid of all of the boroughs in Auckland, Auckland being the first super city. Actually, Auckland became the first smart city, which showed how stupid they were to do that. Because what did they promise? They promised that they would streamline all of the costs of a big growing city and that they would trim the bureaucracy, and then everything got blown out. Bureaucracy grew massively out of control. The cost of that bureaucracy massively out of control, which meant higher rates and costs for everybody, leading to the fuel tax that we've got now in Tāmaki, Makaurau, Auckland City. And so none of it works out, does it? Climate change, all of this smart city, Agenda 2030, fourth industrial revolution type nonsense, it doesn't work out. But what it does lead to is you having less and less and less freedom and decision-making capacity, because they want to take it away. And if you can't afford to drive your car in the Auckland city, Auckland inner city area, because they're going to do what they did in London, which is create penalties and ultra low emission zones and things like that, then guess what? You'll just have to bicycle in, catch a train in, or walk into town, because that's what the 15-minute cities are about. They're about walking and trains and shuttles like that. They're not about private vehicle ownership. So those things, those ideals of freedom to live and move, transport, etc., they'll be yesterday's news. And like Christine Anderson just said, it's coming. We may not think it is, but it's coming. Now, one of the great ironies of the Jacinda Ardern experience, and I do dwell a bit on this in the documentary because it's important, is just how be strong and be kind she really was. And, you know, I'm going to say this again because I have to. I do find it difficult speaking the way I do about these people. I really, really, truly do. I don't want to speak with any negative tone about anyone. But the harm that these people have done, the dishonest, covert way they've gone about doing it, is nothing less than criminal. You know, absolutely criminal. And so when you see an image like this, it's vomit material. Was she strong? She was pig-headed and determined to deliver on the program that she was told to deliver in New Zealand. Why the heck do you think Ashley Bloomfield went into that Director General role? And now he's number two in the IHR community in that committee to develop the international health regulations, which are terrifyingly communistic, restrictive, sovereignty-destroying as the IHRs, which will lead to the Global Pandemic Preparedness Treaty. And here you've got this woman, be kind, be kind. Was she kind? How many times did she tell people that she wasn't going to lock down, use vaccine mandates? How many times did she say that? And when she did decide that she was going to use them, her and Ashley Bloomfield and the rest of them and Hipkins were brutal, they were resolute, and they didn't give a stuff.com how they were going to hurt people in the implementation of their plans and programs. That's the thing, you see, that's the thing that has been so disturbing about this documentary. I knew about all of these things, but I've had to come up close with the stories and the realities of dealing with these issues. And then, you know, 4 months into recording this documentary and filming it, my own daughter comes down with Guillain-Barre syndrome, which is one of the highlighted vaccine adverse events that people were getting from the jab. My beautiful daughter got it, and she's making out she's come right a few months later, but she doesn't seem right. And she's beautiful, she's strong, she's an actress, she's a professional dancer, got a university degree in it, and she's come a long way from where she was, praise God. But this is the thing, the harm that these people caused cannot go by, just cannot. It has to be packaged into an easy to understand product so that we can all look at this and go, here you go, mum, here you go, dad, cousin, sis, bro, whatever, here you go, look at this. Just look at it with an open mind for 90 minutes. And if it doesn't do anything for you, then fine, go back to sleep. But that's what we want. Anyway, the good folks here, I love these guys. I got a bit. These guys are funny. But the topic that they're sharing is not funny. And this is why we need to get out of the World Health Organization. Because if these people are successful in bringing this about, the World Health Organization, we're going to be in deep doodles. And if the fact that Bloomfield is number two, next to Tedros, by the way, who's number one in the IHR, International Health Regulations? Who is it? It's Tedros. Tedros. Ghebreyesus. Adnohim. And here you have this article here, which is well worth taking note of. Let's have a look at this.
Now, a story that has got a lot of traction in the UK, but not nearly enough traction here in Australia, is to do with the World Health Organization. Now, you will have seen various scare stories about, oh, there's a new pandemic coming, the next one's going to be worse, this sort of stuff. You will have read about that. What you won't have read much about is how the World Health Organization, I've warned you about this many, many times before on this show, are desperate to have some kind of global pandemic treaty whereby it would be the World Health Organization who says to separate countries, now there's dispute about what powers they would have, and Scott Morrison said, oh, no, don't worry, it would never get this bad. But at its worst, the reality is, or the fear is, that the World Health Organization will have the powers to be able to say such and such a state or such a nation or country or whatever is in a pandemic situation and must be locked down, even if that entity says, no, we're not, or disputes it. That's the fear of how bad it could be. There's dispute about whether that's what the agenda will be. But in the UK, MPs within the government are now getting very twitchy about what they see as the World Health Organization taking powers on a global scale to impose pandemics at will. This is a really serious story, and it will only stop if Australian voters speak up very loudly and very clearly on chat shows and radio shows and so on, saying we do not want a World Health Organization global pandemic treaty.
And James. Rowan, you know, I think the thing here, you know, you were right to couch this in an awful lot of sort of cautious language, because, of course, there can be extremism. But there's also, you know, a saying that goes around that says, you know, today's conspiracy theories are tomorrow's coming attractions. Yeah. One of the things that really needs to be noted about the pandemic, too, is that so many of the jurisdictions that did best are the ones that did not follow the official narrative, the official advice. I'm thinking of Florida. I'm thinking of Sweden. So the idea that you would have this sort of, I don't know, called a, well, you don't want to say world government because that would be all conspiracy theory, but this world body telling governments how to manage their pandemics, when in fact that world body fell and tumbled for the Wuhan model of containment and eradication, causing untold misery around the globe.
All right, so you get the idea here. They're completely onto it, these guys. And they put it in such a good, concise way there. And that's what we're dealing with. Now, the guy that's going to help, that is helping to develop the strategy of the WHO for this is Ashley Bloomfield. And one of the things that we can't ignore, and we're going to go to this in a second, is that we need to ask ourselves who this guy Tedros is, right? Because Tedros himself is now Ashley Bloomfield's boss in regards to this IHR committee, right? Now, if you go and check out Ashley Bloomfield's LinkedIn page, you'll see that the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade have appointed this guy at Bloomfield into this. So he may be being paid by the New Zealand government, but make no bones about it, it's this guy here that's calling the shots on behalf of, you know, that guy Bill Gates, who's the main funder of the WHO. Listen to this. The standing director general of the World Health Organization is a man named Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus. Tedros, as he is frequently called, was elected to the position of director general on May 23rd, 2017. becoming the first WHO director general in history to not be a medical doctor. So when they call him Dr. Tedros, he is no medical doctor. Let's get that straight. And how did he get there? He was advocated by Bill Gates. Instead of having been a medical doctor, Tedros served ministerial positions for Ethiopia under the regime of the Tigray People's Liberation Front, a prolifically violent, listen to this, Marxist organization of which he was a prominent top three per the Ethiopian Registrar, member of the Politburo. So he's over here, you'll see all the links here, so none of this is made up. The Tigray People's Liberation Front is currently designated a terrorist organization by the Ethiopian government and was designated a Tier 3 terrorist organization by the US Department of Homeland Security on the basis of its violent quest to become the main party of the ruling coalition of Ethiopia. Don't forget, Tedros is number three, a position it held onto with an iron fist for the better part of three decades. The US has issued a statement lamenting the TPLF's post-rain violence as well, and all these other articles which you can see. After holding regional and state positions in the early 2000s, Tedros was promoted to the Minister of Health of Ethiopia by Prime Minister and Chairman of the TPLF, Meles Zenawi, in October of 2005, per the Washington Post. During his tenure as Health Minister, the government referred to cholera as acute watery diarrhea, preventing the country from receiving international medical resources, potentially protecting tourism and or other sources of revenue due to party leadership. As the Post put it wryly, in the past 10 years, Ethiopia is also the only country in the Horn of Africa that has not been touched by cholera, according to the government. But the reality is, Tedros, as the Minister of Health, one of the worst outbreaks of cholera. Anyway, since the cholera outbreak in 2006 in the Oromia region, Ethiopia has referred to the disease as acute water diarrhea. What did they do? They redefined it, didn't they? Essentially a symptom of the deadly waterborne cholera, which is caused by the Vibrio cholerae bacterium. Tests at the time by the UN confirmed that it was actually cholera. So they tried to disguise the fact that they had cholera and called it something else. Isn't that what the WHO do now? Don't they do that? I think so. Responsiveness was severely limited by the government's refusal to declare a cholera epidemic on multiple occasions, and many Ethiopians became sick and succumbed to the disease. And why did Tedros let that happen? Because a lot of these people were against the ruling party that he was a part of. So TPLF's manifesto labeled the Amharas, one of the two largest ethnic groups in Ethiopia, the enemy of the Tigray people. Their history of participating in genocide against the Amhara people is well documented. So that's what they're doing. They're using disease to eradicate opposition, and they didn't help them. That's Tedros, family. That's Tedros. According to the Amhara Professionals Union, Tedros appears to share the inclination of the party of which he was third most important member of the Standing Committee of the Politburo. The organization released a lengthy research document, which will be touched on briefly as it is too extensive to detail in full here, although readers are encouraged to review it in full on their own time. So basically, it just goes through the entire history of what this man did, Tedros, Adhanom Ghebreyesus. He is a mongrel. And this is the same guy that his bosom buddy, Bill Gates, put in that job to do what he wanted. To do exactly what Bill Gates wanted. You know what? Isn't it funny that at the beginning of the pandemic, everybody was being told, don't worry about masks. Don't worry about them. Fauci was saying it. Don't worry about masks. Ashley Bloomfield, Jacinda Ardern, they're all saying it. Michael Baker, all saying it. Don't wear masks. You don't need them. They're not, you know, they don't do anything for you. If you want to wear it, it's a psychological apron. Put it on. That's all cool. That's fine. You can do it. But it ain't going to do anything. How did it change? When did it change? When did the epidemic get changed to a pandemic? And I think the answer lies, again, with that man, Bill Gates. But what about this one here? Jacinda Ardern implicated in grand jury proceedings. This is Reiner again. In a statement to the grand jury, Dr. Rona Formick, nice man by the way, named Jacinda Ardern amongst others in crimes against humanity. Grand jury proceedings by the People's Court of Public Opinion. Impairing public conscience through natural law and justice to one is an injustice to all. Amen, is it? We, a group of international lawyers and a judge, hereby announce that we will conduct a criminal investigation modeled after the United States grand jury proceedings. This grand jury investigation serves as a model legal proceeding to present to a jury consisting of the citizens of the world all available evidence of COVID-19 crimes against humanity to date against leaders, organizers, instigators, and accomplices who aided, abetted, or actively participated in the formulation and execution of a common plan for a pandemic. It was lockstep. All of it. As Mike Yeadon says, never before had we ever seen the globe move millimeter by millimeter, inch by inch together in a franchised plan in lockstep like this. Never before. Not even the world wars were as coordinated by any of the armies in the same way. So my thing is this, whānau, if I could perhaps try and summarize tonight's broadcast, it's this: our political people better get their acts together. I'm disheartened by what I'm seeing with the so-called freedom political parties. I don't believe most of what they're saying. I don't believe that they understand what needs to be done. But what does need to be done, even if you strip all of that away, they need to come together. They need to drop the egos. They need to humbly say, you know, what will it take that everybody has a bite of the pie? What will it take? And you've got to ask yourself, why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they do that? Because I've got some real doubts about people. Why all of a sudden is Winston Peters saying he's a freedom lover when the evidence is completely to the opposite? What about Matt King? Where was he in 2020? How come he's still today telling people how great the National Party is? Why that? Why the sudden emergence of the Freedom Rights Coalition promoting so-called resistance against government tyranny and yet selling face masks to their people at their events with the word freedom on them, propagated by a man who's been double jabbed? I don't get those things. I don't get it. But let's put all of that aside. Let's do that. Let's put all of it aside, all of those concerns aside, and just say, let's get a dozen MPs that are going to be willing, or 10 to 12 MPs that will be willing to fight this fight on your behalf in Parliament, to dismember it and create another system. How about that? Why don't we let these guys know they've got to do it? Matt King, you want to be believable? Swallow your pride. You see, Matt King is being funded by former members of the Labour Party. And so, and it just goes on, these strange things that are occurring here. And I will believe them if suddenly they turned around and said, right, okay, I'll work with you all. I'll work with the New Cons, I'll work with Freedom and Rights, Outdoors and Freedom Party, whoever. New Cons, I think I said them. Who else is there? Just all of these umbrella parties, right? Or umbrella member parties. Why doesn't he come out and say that? What about Winston? He went left in 2017, didn't he? When he should have gone right. He went left, absolutely betrayed all of his people, went left to get his day in the Prime Minister's chair, got that, arrived at that point. But what if he turned around and said, you know what, I really do believe in democracy and rights and civil liberties, and New Zealand being a country for New Zealanders, serving our own needs and requirements before we look at serving the needs of others overseas. I'm not saying we don't have an international role to play. Internationalism is different to globalism. It's a completely different thing. So if he suddenly said, yep, I'll work with Matt King, I'll work with all these guys, then I'll go, heck, we've got something going. But you know what? You're now asking these men that have tasted the privileges of parliamentary life and the benefits of it to suddenly bow down and say, well, okay, all right then, I'll join these other parties. Do you think they'll do that? Time will tell. Do you think Matt King will do it? He's already been telling people he won't work with people. So let's just see. Let's put the acid on there. All of them. Let's send them all messages. The other thing is too, please go and sign that action item plan to get out of the WHO. Because if we don't start activating now before the elections and letting those MPs know that are already in there, their corrupt House of Misrepresentatives, then it's going to be too late. It's going to be too late. You know, isn't it funny that when you're romancing someone, that once you get that ring on your on that finger, people seem to slacken off, right? And isn't it a bit like this? And prior to election, these politicians will promise everything to you. Get them into parliament. Well, it's a different story, isn't it? So let's see what happens over a period of time there. All right, family, that is going to be it for me. I just got a couple of things. These free books as well, family, that I always want to offer you. I'm just going to get my, where is my email gone? I think I've, there it is right there for me. All right, great. I'm going to bring that up here. And I hope you enjoyed tonight's broadcast. It's been back to my sort of regular format. Now, if you'd like to email me, if you want to join my weekly Bible studies, if you'd like these free books, or how about that way, National Sunday Law and The Great Controversy, these books are gold. These are free. Let me know if you'd like them, and I will get you to them. I'll pop them in a bag and send them to you. If you would like to also join my weekly Bible study group, you are more than warmly welcome to be a part of that. If you want to reach out to me and connect with me, please do. The other thing, please, if I may remind you, I almost forgot to do this for myself tonight. This is my new bank account, and it hasn't got anything in it yet, really. But if you'd like to support and donate for my legal fees, if you'd like to help me, this is the way to do it, because I can't do it all without you. I've got two great lawyers working for me now to try and stop me from going into prison, but I need help. So I'm not receiving legal aid for this. So please, if you can help me with these things, this is how you can. As well as, of course, help me with my electricity costs and things like that. Other than that, I'm very, very happy always to be doing this work. And as long as you're willing to come and listen to me, I'm happy to broadcast. So thank you always, everyone, for your patience and your time that you've given me tonight. I do appreciate it. I never, ever take it for granted, and absolutely appreciate it, no end. All right, family, remember, keep the peace in your spirit. Remind these people in these political parties that they need to come together. And God willing, I will see you tomorrow at 5 o'clock on TK Talk Tuesday on Telegram, and also on the Major Dicol Last Day Events News at 7:30. And I've got some other interesting things I want to share with you tomorrow night. All right, everyone, do take care and be safe, keep warm. And God willing, I will see you tomorrow. Pō marie e whānau, pō marie e.